CBS News, President Carter cut short his Camp David vacation to get down to work on the economic program he'll campaign on this fall. I'm Mitchell Krause reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Details from Lee Thornton at the White House.
President Carter returned to the White House earlier than he had planned to work on the economic renewal package aides say he will present to the public sometime next week in Washington. Administration consultations with labor have been ongoing, and today the first of 3 days of White House meetings got underway. Representatives of major corporations attended that first session. State and local government officials also were briefed today. Others to visit the White House in the next couple of days will include representatives of small business, trade associations, minorities, and consumer groups. Press Secretary Jody Powell said the meetings are being held to present the framework of the new economic plan. Recently, President Carter said the program would be designed to put people to work. Today, Jody Powell said it's important to underscore that although we have made progress on inflation, we cannot be complacent about it. He said the administration's newest approach to the economy's problems will be to aid in the recovery from inflation without reigniting it. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
President Carter's major opponents in the presidential race were on the campaign trail today. Republican Ronald Reagan toured a shipbuilding company in Pennsylvania and told workers the president has no coherent long-range shipbuilding or maritime policy. He also repeated his charge that the administration was not doing enough to counter the Soviet military buildup. Independent John Anderson, who attacked Ronald Reagan at the American Legion convention in Boston for creating what he called dangerous hysteria about the arms race with the Soviets, went on to say that an arms race was insane. More CBS News in a moment.
It's your way of looking good.
Easy to stay cool with Avon's Feel and Fresh Body Splash. It even has moisturizers. Feel and Fresh is as much fun as a plunge into a swimming pool.
You've got lots of things to do, so we bring Avon right to
If you want to know what's happening, ask us.
Can Tomboy Angel Tanya Roberts boost Charlie's ratings to the heavens again?
Or will the Angels jinx make her fallen cherub number 6?
Read the inside story of 5 fallen angels. Jackie, Cheryl, Kate, Shelley, and Farrah in Us Magazine and more.
Olivia Newton-John finds a new Travolta in the disco fantasy Xanadu.
Airplane takes off to a smash with Robert Hayes in the pilot seat.
All this plus movie, music, TV news and reviews, quizzes and quotes.
So pick us up.
Bring us home.
Us Magazine on sale at your newsstand.
With unusual speed, the Senate Finance Committee moved toward approval of a multi-billion-dollar tax cut bill. The Senate panel agreed today to have the measure ready to send to the full Senate by Friday. Committee member Lloyd Benson of Texas, sponsor of a plan for business tax deductions to spur productivity, explains what's involved in the bill now under discussion.
You'll probably see a tax cut on the order of $25 to $30 billion. Now, that will start out by helping the individuals the most, but over the years, it'll finally equate to about a 50-50 tax cut between individuals and trying to increase productivity in this country. And I've seen an unusual degree of bipartisanship. I've never seen a tax bill that is moving as fast as this one.
Over in the House, Speaker Thomas O'Neill said he couldn't conceive of the House having a bill ready before the pre-election recess, which begins October 4th. The House Ways and Means Committee is holding hearings on a tax cut this week, but has not yet begun work on a specific bill. The Senate Banking Committee heard an appeal from farm state senators today to end the partial U.S. grain embargo against the Soviet Union. South Dakota Democrat George McGovern said the action was having a minimal effect on the Soviet Union and was hurting the U.S. much more. Other senators called the partial embargo enacted by President Carter after the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan an asinine thing and called the notion that Soviet citizens were being deprived of food because of it sheer fantasy. Wisconsin's William Proxmire supported the embargo and called it morally correct. Now this.
When your pets, brown worms, come rolling along, they'll do your dog or cat wrong. Get Hart's once-a-month wormer for your pets today and send those round worms rolling away.
Don't let your puppy, kitten, dog, or cat suffer with roundworms. Simply add the Hart's once-a-month wormer to your pet's dinner. Use just once every 30 days, and the Hart's wormer will help keep dangerous roundworms away for good.
Get Hart's once-a-month wormer for your pet today and send
and those roundworms rolling away.
Listen to the sound of a cannon. Tuesday night on the CBS Late Movie explodes when William Conrad stars as Frank Cannon, the ex-police lieutenant who left the system to battle crime his own way. He's a hard-boiled private eye who never lets up once he's on the case. Cannon's a man with a taste for the good life, fine food, rare wine, and gorgeous ladies. Tuesday nights on the CBS Late Movies on CBS Television.
U.S. Ambassador Alfred Atherton met for 40 minutes in Cairo today with Boutros Ghali, Egypt's deputy foreign minister, in a renewed effort to get the stalled Mideast peace talks going again. But after the meeting, Ghali said only a three-way summit meeting involving Egyptian President Sadat, Israeli Prime Minister Begin, and President Carter would be acceptable as a way of resuming negotiations. Egypt suspended the talks last month after Israel formalized its 1967 annexation of Jerusalem. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
87 WHCU, 97 WHCU FM, Ithaca, New York.
Hello, I'm Joseph Campanella. Once on an episode of Marcus Welby, I played a man who had Huntington's disease. I got a glimpse of what it's like to lose control of your muscles, to wonder how long you'll be able to walk, to speak. It takes a lot of courage to live a full, rewarding life despite this illness. The Committee to Combat Huntington's Disease is helping people to do just that. Perhaps they can help you or someone you love. Contact the Committee to Combat Huntington's Disease, 250 West 57th Street, New York, 10019.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. Today, a tale of hatred and jealousy and the meager nourishment one can derive from such a diet. It is one of Henry James' best. Some say it is autobiographical, some say not. We say it is unforgettable.
This portrait of yours, Maria, it's a great work. Did you do it all without sketches of the man or studies?
I destroyed everything years ago.
Ah, then you once had them.
I once had everything.
So that it's all memory.
It is all hate.
Our mystery drama, Portrait of Memory, was adapted from a story of Henry James by James Agate Jr., especially for the Mystery Theater, and stars Norman Rose and Marion Seldes. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It's your way of looking good. You're looking good. Having fun in summer light. Like you should.
Rainbow-colored bangles, all kinds of earrings, terrific necklaces, and summery pins. That's what Avon, the world's leading creator of fashion jewelry, has for you this summer.
You've got lots of things to do, so we bring Avon right to you. It's Avon, summer ready. You never look so good.
Come on!
I'm coming! Oh, I can't believe we lost our traveler's check.
Me neither. Come on, we've got to find the tour guide. Oh, there he is. Mr. Lee!
Mr. Lee!
What's wrong?
Mr. Lee, we lost all our traveler's checks. All of them.
What kind were they?
American Express.
No problem. American Express has an office right here in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong and in hundreds of cities around the world, you can find help with American Express traveler's checks. Ask for them by name.
These days, we tend to put off spending money for things we don't feel are absolutely necessary, like doctor's fees, unless we're actually ill, and preventive medical care like eye examinations for our children. And yet, suppose a child has a vision problem that he or she isn't aware of or can't explain. It shouldn't go undetected. In many communities, the National Society to Prevent Blindness runs vision screening programs for children. If there isn't one in your area, you can write directly to Prevent Blindness at 79 Madison Avenue, New York, New York, 10016. They'll send you a home eye test kit. that you can use to determine whether your child should see an eye doctor. It comes with a wealth of information about the care and protection of your children's eyes. And good news for these inflationary times, it's all free. Write Prevent Blindness, 79 Madison Avenue, New York, New York, 10016.
Patriots, they call them, those who live abroad. Americans or any national who makes his home in a foreign land and who rarely, if ever, goes home again. Such a man was Justin Court, who spent his youth in the New England town of Old Bedford and maturity in France. It is 2 p.m. in an art gallery off the Rue Jacob in Paris.
It's my exhibit, actually. I've had half a dozen or so over the past 20 years, generally in this same gallery, Geringer. You know the place. Derain hung here. Matisse, Van Dongen. So I'm in good company. Only the art lovers have changed, and I'm afraid, not for the better.
His predilection with death and destruction and disfigurement, Miss Lark, is awesome.
Tremendous, tremendous.
Do you realize there isn't one painting in this entire room in which a human is portrayed at peace? Even his landscapes are tortured. It is Soutine all over.
Oh, I would like to meet him. Oh, isn't that him? That man with the beard over there talking to the lady with the feather in her hat.
I have not met Justin Court either, so it could be. I hear he had some violent accident when he was younger. That is why the dark glasses. All this murder and blood hanging on these walls.
Oh, Professor Benoyer, perhaps we should go. This exhibit upsets you so.
All I am expressing, Miss Lark, is an opinion. This Julian Court is fine, very fine, but his anger brings out the anger in me. Do you understand?
I couldn't help overhearing you both because you were speaking in English. Permit me to introduce myself. I'm Amelia North. I'm an American.
I should have guessed from your accent, madame. I am Charles Benoyer. This is Mademoiselle Beatrice Lark. She's from England, one of my art students at the Lycée.
Aren't you overcome with these paintings? Who is this Justin Court?
We think that may be him standing over there. Professor Benoyer doesn't know him, but I'd give anything to meet him.
There is some reason why this painter is punishing himself.
He is?
Well, it's there. You only have to look for it. There, that one. Like Daumier. And there, that one. Poor, poor Vince.
Well, I must say this is the most exciting afternoon I've ever spent. Thanks to both of you. I feel like such a stranger in a foreign land.
Oh, you should not, madame. This Justin Court is also an American. If he suffers, or has suffered, then he has joined the human race, n'est-ce pas?
Garçon, enfin, s'il vous plaît. I have a certain hoarseness which still plagues me ever since... Oh, well, we shan't talk about that. When I'm tired or overwrought, there it is. The only cure is a Paris cafe and a good brandy at 4 in the afternoon. Ah, merci, thank you.
Ah. Mr. Court? I beg your pardon, but aren't you Justin Court, the painter?
I am, yes.
My name is Amelia North. Mrs. Amelia North. May I sit at your table for a moment?
Well, by all means.
I wanted you to know that one of the very first things I did when I came to Paris was to go to that gallery on the Rue... what's it called?
Jacob.
Yes, that's it. And see your exhibition of paintings. I was overwhelmed, Mr. Court. So modern, so real, so new.
You're very kind, Mrs. North, but I'm afraid I'm a throwback to the minor surrealists of the 30s.
Oh, you're famous.
Oh, no, dear lady. Though I've lived here for 20 years or so, I'm still regarded as that relatively unknown American expatriate dauber.
Is that what they say?
No, they say, there goes what's-his-name.
There is such a thing as too much modesty, Mr. Court. In fact...
Are you staying in Paris long, Mrs. North?
A few weeks. Then the south of France, and then I'm coming back in the fall. I have a lovely place in Saint-Cloud. But really, I've nothing to keep me here or take me there.
Ah, yes, a free American spirit.
Well, actually, I'm not telling you the whole truth. I do have something to keep me in Paris. Hopefully, it is you.
Me?
In fact, do you ever do commissions, Mr. Court?
Well, I have.
Well, did I tell you that when I was in Gérinjé's just an hour ago that I came away overcome?
Well, it's kind of you to say so. On the whole, Americans seem to appreciate what I'm trying to do much more than Europeans.
The commission I have in mind is not an ordinary one.
Well, I accept the compliment.
Have you ever done a portrait without the person sitting for you?
No, I never have. I rarely do portraits.
Oh, yes, but they're people and things in your pictures. They're so sad, really. They're quite awakening.
The person you wish portrayed is not in Paris?
I don't know where he is. Even if he's alive.
Will you have photographs of him?
No, nothing.
My dear lady, how do you expect any artist to paint a likeness for you with no reference?
Who said anything about a likeness? Un très bel homme. A beautiful man. 35. Drawn purely from your imagination, Mr. Court.
My imagination would satisfy you?
Oh, yes.
Mrs. North, you don't know my work well enough. I'm sorry, but I am not the painter for your commission.
I would pay well.
Well, I'm in the fortunate position that money cannot pay me for making a fool of myself. I can but do in my own way the face I see, not the face I imagine.
Well, I shan't disturb you much longer. I have here the name of another painter, a woman who lives here in Paris. Do you happen to know her?
And then, Maria Elena, she hands me this card with your name written on it.
Why are you so surprised, Justin? It's possible my reputation has reached America.
Of course. I'm not saying that, but the coincidence of you, someone I know so well.
After all, I was born there. So, send her along, your Mrs. North. I can always use another commission.
I don't see how. Yours is the most crowded studio on the Rue Saint-Benoît. Maria, you'll never live long enough to complete all these works.
Ah, commercial stuff. Copying the old masters for film studios, schools, and for the not extremely rich.
Oh, this isn't the original Rembrandt, is it?
No, my dear. It's my prize copy. I shall make money with that one.
Fantastic. I think this Mrs. North's commission will intrigue you.
So long as it is something to copy, I can enjoy.
No, not a copy this time. She wants a portrait out of the blue, as it were.
Oh, but you do portraits, Justin.
No, my kind is not for this lady. She wants a pretty picture.
Of whom?
Of nobody. No person in particular, but it must be someone the artist wishes to do.
I've never heard of anything like that. Do you mean I choose the sitter?
There is to be no sitter.
Well, then, whom is the portrait to represent?
An ideal.
Mine or hers?
This is what this strange and wealthy American lady wants. A handsome, distinguished, agreeable man, 30, 35, clean-shaven, well-dressed, a perfect gentleman, and a perfect scoundrel.
A perfect scoundrel. And I'm to find him myself.
Well, I told her you could.
Well, I suppose if I wandered about Montmartre, I could find a model. And after all, if Rembrandt could pick up some old bum by the docks for his Apostle Paul, I should be able to find the right face.
No, Maria Elena, this is not what Mrs. North wants. She wants the portrait from your soul, your imagination.
Why didn't you take this on, Justin?
Because I have to start with the face I see before me.
And you think I can paint a face I don't see?
You see so many more faces than I do. And you see them in memory. From all the museums that you've haunted, the great art you've studied. Now, let me arrange a meeting between you two.
No.
You won't take the job?
Well, do I have to meet her to try it? Is she married? Not married. Is this to be her lover?
Now, the way I see it is, I see her at home or here in her apartment in Paris. Visitors arrive. Your creation hangs over the mantel. Who is that extremely handsome man, says someone. Oh, that's a portrait of my dear departed husband. That's my guess, Maria.
I'll do it. Thank you, Mrs. North. Since she's an American, double whatever price you had in mind. Tell her she'll have it in a week or two.
You already have an idea, don't you?
Something very powerful is telling me to go ahead with this. That all the roads I have taken in the past converge on this very decision.
Ah, Maria, I am glad.
It'll be an experience to begin in my studio, not in a museum. I shall make him supremely beautiful and supremely base.
Base?
The finest gentleman a young girl did ever see. And the worst friend. Justin, I have always wanted to ask you, is Justin your real name?
Ah, Maria, what a strange question.
Do you realize, my old friend, that in all these years, I have never seen you without those great big dark glasses covering half your face?
Neither has anyone else. But accidents happen. Glass cuts, vocal cords, skin is punctured, bones fractured. But in time, everything heals. But one's looks. Goodbye, my dear. I must go. The finest gentleman and the worst friend. I shall repeat those words to your patron. And again, double the price I had in mind.
Two painters in an atelier in Paris. One who paints only emotions, and tortured emotions at that. The other, a success at duplicating past masters so well that few can tell the difference. This strange commission of an idealized man is now hers. What will she do with it? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Oh, great master.
Yes?
My daughter and I have traveled far to seek your wisdom.
Is that your daughter with the,
bag over her head?
Bag.
Yes. Say hello, April.
Hi.
Why is she,
her cream rinse gives her hair the greasy...
Oh, Daddy.
Yes, that bag looks like it held a 6-year supply of French fries.
Thanks.
What can we do, sire?
Well, let's see here. Take the root of the imbo bush.
I tried that.
The juice of the beagleberry.
Look, nothing works. I'll have permanent greasies. Oh, no.
Now, look, I'll tell you what my kids use. Agree cream rinse and conditioner.
Agree?
Yes, agree. Cream rinse and conditioner is 99% oil-free.
Oh.
So it helps stop the greasies.
No more greasies. I won't have to brown bag it.
Yes, my daughter's hair became so beautiful, she was elected homecoming queen at Guru U.
Wow.
How can I thank you for telling me about Agree?
Give me some advice. Should I let my daughter wear pantyhose?
How old is she?
28.
Oh, then I think...
Both legs?
Yes, both.
Fine.
You can search the wide world over and may never find anything that can help stop the greasies better than Agree cream rinse and conditioner. And be sure and try Agree shampoo. It helps stop the greasies, too.
Hello, this is James Earl Jones for Social Security. The people at Social Security are concerned that some of you may not be fully aware of the value of the protection you have under Social Security. So let's see if we can make it clear. If you worked long enough in a job covered by Social Security, here's a rundown of the benefits. Monthly retirement checks as early as 62. Higher payments if you delay retiring past 65. Disability checks every month for you and your family if you can't work for a year or more because of a serious accident or illness. Medicare at 65 or at any age if you get Social Security disability benefits for 2 years or if you have a permanent kidney failure. And when you die, your family can get monthly survivor's checks. And one more thing, you can even earn some money and still get monthly Social Security retirement checks. If you're still not sure about the rights and benefits you have, get in touch with any Social Security office. They're listed in the phone book under Social Security Administration.
Avengers have an insight into seeing things that most of us don't even know exist, and of saying things equally surprising. A room hung with pictures is a room hung with thoughts. Sir Joshua Reynolds, the renowned portrait painter of the royalty and rich, he also said, "The mind sees more clearly than the eyes," which is pretty much what Justin Court told Mrs. North the following day.
Absolutely, Mrs. North. She accepted your commission.
Does she want to meet me or talk to me?
No. She feels it would add nothing to her imagination. And since you wished Maria Elena to reach into herself for this portrait, why see you?
Well, I only thought she might be curious who I was. And I suppose I would have liked to have met her. I know I've asked for something very unusual.
Maria is an unusual painter, and you'll meet her when the portrait's finished. You'll have plenty of time to thank her.
And to pay her the balance, too, I suppose. I did give you the down payment you asked for.
Oh, yes, I have it right here in my pocket.
Maria Elena. An interesting name. Have you known her long, Mr. Court?
A dozen years or so, since she came to Paris to work.
Oh, I'm getting such a tingly, jittery feeling now that it's being started. Does she work quickly?
Oh, my impression is she'll toss it off at white heat.
You artists are a most extraordinary people. Oh, how rude I'm being. I haven't even thanked you for coming all the way down here to my house in St. Cloud. And by the way, let me show you where I plan to hang the portrait. This is my room, my boudoir, I guess you'd call it.
Yes. Is that a music box playing on the table?
Yes. It's given to me long ago. It runs for 2 hours, and I try to keep it going all the time. Now, Mr. Court, if you'll turn around. It is over that mantelpiece I am going to hang the painting. You see what it will do for this room?
And for you, too, I hope.
Why do you say that?
You are waiting for something to happen, aren't you, Mrs. North? Perhaps for someone to come into your life. It is more than waiting for the portrait to be done.
What a good eye you have. How clearly you can see me, even through those black lenses. As if... No, that's not possible. As if you could see right into my soul.
No, don't look, Justin. Wait. Wait.
Maria, do you mean to tell me it's finished already? It's been less than a week.
Justin, before I let you see it, I have to tell you, I cheated.
You have?
For 4 days, I painted as though I were bewitched. Oh, I slept a few hours here and there, but I felt I was in a furnace of passion to get every line, shadow, nuance of color, light, highlight, quickly onto the canvas before it all escaped me.
That's what I told your client. You would paint at white heat.
Oh, the man I have done is not from my imagination, not a Raphaelite or a Tintoretan man in a modern suit. He is real.
Of course, to you.
He is a likeness of a living person. At least someone who did live once. But nobody will ever know.
Are you sure?
Nobody she has ever seen or knew.
All right. Now, may I see him?
You may wait, Justin. Lord knows I had to.
Oh, of course. Someone you have raked up from the past. Your past. I don't see why not, after all. Mrs. North won't know the man.
I'm glad you agree. Now, I'll turn the painting around and place it on this easel.
Oh, Maria. Whom have you brought to life? Oh, Mrs. North will be pleased, I'm sure. He is un bel homme. Perhaps a little too fine for her fantasy. I would say it needs something less sincere in the expression.
But you have captured a daredevil. I see it in his eyes and the way he holds himself. Oh, yes, reckless.
He was. Joy, pride, high spirits, the expectations of a great fortune. But he was a dilettante, a would-be painter, believe it or not. Oh, how many years ago that all was.
It's a great work, Maria. All done without sketches or studies.
And I destroyed them years ago.
Ah, then you once had them.
I once had everything.
So that it's all memory.
It is all hate.
In all the years we had known one another, I had never seen Maria Elena in such a state. She turned away from me. I could see her eyes filling with tears. And abruptly, she left the room. Maria. Maria Elena, please come back to the studio. Maria.
Forgive me, Justin. I couldn't bear to look at him any longer. I'm all right now.
I don't know what to make of all this.
I didn't want you to see my face, Justin, that's all.
Your tears.
I was 17. What is that? 20 years ago. I was very much in love with him. I thought we would marry. To this day, I don't know whether my love was ever returned. Then, one day, without explanation, without even saying goodbye, he left me to marry someone else.
You were in love with the dilettante? Of course. What does one know at 17?
He loved painting. Hoping to study and become one. It's funny, isn't it? I think that's why I took it up. I had to be better than he was at what he desired. Painting meant more to him than I ever could.
Maria, you have created a living, breathing man. But the evil in him, the evil you speak of, the evil Mrs. North wanted, is not as clear.
Nor was it in him. Take it. Take it now, right now. I don't want to see him again.
I'll take the portrait to my place. She can see it there and pay me, and I'll send you a check by the first post. I told you, didn't I? I doubled your price and she agreed. It now stands at 30,000 francs.
30? Why do I feel like such a Judas?
I'm almost afraid to look at the painting, Mr. Court.
I don't see why. It's fantastically done. It will give you nothing but pleasure.
You believe that? Oh. May I look now?
For the money you are spending, your request isn't out of line. It's on the easel by the window, the one with the cloth over it.
No, well, no, I can't. Not yet. What if I were mistaken?
About what?
Well, oh, never mind.
Mrs. North, I have a great deal to do today. I cannot wait for the mood to hit you, for you to see what you've bought.
All right. Yes, I will. Now. My Lord in heaven. It's him.
This man, you know him?
It's magnificent. Just like him.
Well, who is he? Who was he?
You think I'd tell you his name?
This is all beyond me. Would you like me to have it sent to St. Cloud?
Every lash on his eyes, so real.
Mrs. North, did you hear me? Can we say the commission is concluded?
Mr. Court, do you mean to say you don't know this man?
How should I know him?
Well, you know her, the painter, this Maria Elena. She knows him. The likeness, it's beyond me how true it is.
This is someone you actually knew, do I understand?
He has been brought back to me after all this time. He's looking straight at me.
But a resemblance to a known individual, that was not what you wanted.
Oh, you've no idea how many portraits I've commissioned. Like a detective searching for a clue. And now, here I am. What'd you say?
So, you were hoping for a resemblance to someone.
No one else would ever see it.
No one but you and her.
What does she know about me?
Nothing. I hardly know you myself. This man, staring back at us so knowingly, was he to have married you?
Yes. If he'd lived. But you've got to keep that a secret.
But why? From Maria, who has reproduced
it. Oh, if she'd suspect, I know she'd never let me have it. Now, what did we agree the price would be?
$30,000.
I'll send you a check for $40,000 immediately when I get home. But promise me you won't tell her it's because I must have it. Just say I was so pleased with the spirit of the thing that I had to give her more.
You're willing to pay 40,000 francs for a painting she originally agreed to do for 15. And I'm to make such a transparent excuse? Now stay with 30. It's enough.
No, I'm afraid to. Now don't let her know, Mr. Court, I beg you. She'd be jealous, and it would start all over again.
But you knew her. You gave me her name on a slip of paper when we first met.
She doesn't know me. I must have this painting. I must. I can't tell you more.
I don't wish to know more. I don't wish to know what comedy or tragedy you two have shared. Obviously, this man played a prominent role.
And as a painter, what do you think of it?
What can I think of a portrait that is a tour de force not done with love?
Oh, more than that. Even I can see it was painted with rage.
$40,000 francs.
It was my idea, Maria. You contracted for a decorative trifle and you've produced a breathing masterpiece.
Is that what she calls it? Oh, Justin, what does she know?
She knows she wants it.
As much as that?
Said she'd send me a check today, and you'll have mine by the first post tomorrow.
But why such a roundabout way?
It's not my idea. You said you didn't wish to meet her. I didn't think you wanted her to know where you live.
Oh, there's more to it. 40,000 before she's even received it?
Yes, but she's seen it. It's the same as if someone bought one of mine at Gueranger's. Money down and then delivery of the painting. She said she'd send for it. Now, Maria, try to understand. She's well off. She can afford things that you or I would think twice about. This time she's bought herself a husband. And you've given her a very special one.
I have given her a husband.
Shall we say, a painted memory? Your memory.
Henry James, author of this story, was fascinated with where life left off and art began. Art does not lie in copying nature, he said. Nature furnishes the material, beauty still unexpressed, and the artist beholds more in nature than she herself is conscious of. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
It's a good feeling to sleep the night away on a perfect sleeper by Sylla.
I'm Susan Anton. The perfect sleeper gives you the top comfort you love and the deep support you need. Top comfort, deep support. You get both from every Serta perfect sleeper. That's firmness that feels good. So,
denture wearers agree.
Snug cushions hold loose dentures so comfortably tight, I feel confident again.
Soft adhesive Snug brand denture cushions ease sore gums from loose-fitting plates. No messy fixing like powders or pastes. Snug is easy to shape and fit, won't wash off. Get temporary relief from loose-fitting dentures until you see a dentist with Snug. Now in the new four-cushion economy package. Snug, another fine product from Mentholatum.
What in the World Happened in August, brought to you by your local Navy recruiter. 194 years ago this month in 1786, the silver dollar and the decimal system of money were adopted by an act of Congress. 134 years ago this month in 1846, the Smithsonian Institution, named for English scientist James Smithson, was chartered. 80 years ago this month, the first international lawn tennis competition for the Davis Cup was held at Longwood, Massachusetts. The U.S. won 3-1. 45 years ago this month in 1935, American cowboy philosopher Will Rogers was killed along with his pilot, Wiley Post, when their plane crashed near Point Barrow, Alaska. 21 years ago this month, Project Teepee was announced to the public. The system was developed by Dr. William Thaler of the Office of Naval Research to monitor 95% of the Earth's atmosphere for missile launchings or nuclear explosions. To find out what's happening in the Navy today, call toll-free 800-841-8000. In Georgia, 800-342-5855. Navy, it's not just a job, it's an adventure.
A wealthy American residing in France commissions a portrait of an unknown man for which she has agreed to pay a great deal of money. But as fate would have it, the painting is not of an unknown man, but of someone from the past of both patron and painter.
The concierge in my building told me that while I was dining out, a lady had stopped by and said she was to pick up a painting. I was surprised that Mrs. North had taken it upon herself to do this and said so. But the concierge said it was no strange American lady, but my friend Maria Elena. The next morning, I was at her studio quite early.
Whoever you are, come in.
It's me, Justin. Good morning, Maria. Maria, what on earth are you doing?
Exactly what you see. I'm preparing to paint right over the portrait.
Are you mad? I have a check in my pocket for you. You listen to me. You cannot throw away 40,000 francs.
No, I can't take the money.
Why not?
I can't tell you why exactly. Something has happened to me.
Maria, you cannot back out. Think of Mrs. North. She's practically fallen in love with that portrait.
Fallen in love, you say?
Certainly. Now look at him. Dispassionately. Try. What woman wouldn't?
I won't back out, Justin. If you answer one question, does she know this man? All last night, I did nothing but ask that question. She must know him. It would account for so much. Do you understand, Justin? The way I feel, these strange sensations, the enormous amount of money she's agreed to pay for it. Justin, they were your words I kept hearing over and over all night. This woman is going to hang the portrait in her boudoir and pass him off as a husband which he never was.
Was he yours, Maria?
No.
Could he have been another woman?
I don't know. Not unless it happened afterwards. Oh, no, no, no. What am I saying? He died unmarried. He'd known many women. He hurt many. Too many. And there was one, I remember. She tried to make him marry her and was almost... He was very near it.
And Mrs. North, did you know her?
She could have been the one. But I don't know and never did. When she first saw the painting, did she act as though she recognized him?
Hmm. Well, she did yesterday, but she didn't name him.
But what did she do? Did she cry out? What did she say?
I can't remember everything she said, Maria.
If I didn't know you better, my old friend, I'd say you were hiding something, but I won't. It's very nice. What you're doing for me, the 40,000 francs, it's sweet. Yes, it really is. But I know.
You know what?
What he must have been to her. I have decided now. I am going to see your Mrs. North and tell her that, unfortunately for her, I have decided to keep the portrait.
To paint over it? It's a sacrilege, Maria Elena. One does not mutilate art.
Justin, return her all the money. Do as I say.
And give no reasons.
She'll know the reason.
The door was open.
Oh,
may I come in?
Mrs. North.
And you are Maria Elena. How do you do? I am Amelia North. I wanted to meet you and thank you. But this morning, when I sent for the painting, it was not at Mr. Court's studio. Now I see why.
Well, Justin did not bring it here. I took it last night.
But I have bought it. Mr. Court has the money.
I'm sorry. I cannot accept it.
I have bought that portrait, and I want it.
Mrs. North has a valid point there, Maria.
Mr. Court, is this lady a well-known painter in Europe?
Well, I'd say extremely well-known.
Extremely well-paid?
Well, in the arts, reputation and remuneration do not always go hand in hand.
Madame Maria.
Mademoiselle.
Suppose I were to double your fee for this painting, instead of 40,000, making it 80.
Maria, that is a great deal of money.
Perhaps not to someone who is rich.
What is your reply? Sold?
In my head, I was seeing him and you in your house or in your apartment. You were looking at him and he at you.
So we would be. Are you jealous?
Of a painting?
Maria, 80,000. Why do you grudge this lady the portrait? Maria, you said you painted it in hate and bitterness. Sell it. Let it go.
No. No, I can't. I'm sorry. You came here for nothing, Mrs. North. Let me turn it. Face to the wall. The subject is closed.
Oh, my dearest Maria, what kind of revenge is this?
My last offer. 90,000 francs.
All the years. Why should you, Amelia, of anyone in the world... Why should you have it?
Mrs. North, I apologize. Believe me, I had no idea when you first gave me Maria Helena's name that it would turn out like this.
You knew my name. You've known it all along. You've known it was me, Amelia.
100,000 francs. Did you hear me? You can paint him again. 100,000.
You can have it. Do you wish it now? I have nothing to wrap it in.
No. Let it... sit on the easel for a little while.
Justin, will you arrange about the money?
Yes. Maria Helena, this was wise of you. For your own sake, your own heart.
Don't you wish to stand closer, Amelia? It's yours. Go ahead and look at it right in the eye.
Maria, let us have some tea. Now, if you don't have any cake, I'll run out and get some.
I have everything. Will you join us before you go, Amelia?
I would love to. Maria, you never knew I existed, did you?
I knew I was not the only woman in his life. But you, by name? No, I did not.
Pour me a little more tea, will you, Maria?
I'll have some, too.
Mind if I help myself to another slice of the Genoise? Oh, don't get up, Maria. I can cut some for myself. Where is that big knife?
He was a wicked one. But I thought I loved him. I was 17. What did I know? A child of 17 in a small backwards town in Massachusetts needing so much reassurance. I used to say to him, "Do you really love me? Do you? Do you?"
Of course I do, Mary Ellen. I've never loved anyone but you.
Is that true? How can that be true?
Because it is.
They say you have many girls and that I'm just one of them.
Do you believe that?
Well, I don't want to believe it. Will we marry someday?
How can I marry a girl of 17? I'm 30. Besides, what will we live on?
You're so clever. You can sing, you can recite poetry, you could teach English.
Mary Ellen, I barely graduated from school. If my father and mother hadn't left me money, I don't know what I'd do.
Oh, darling. What would you like to do?
Paint. I would give my soul to paint. I know that I have the true artistic spirit.
Oh, you have. What can you see in plain Mary Ellen Gray living in the oldest farm in our village?
I see everything, my darling Mary Ellen Gray. One day I shall paint you. I'm going abroad to learn how. I shall study with the masters.
Alone?
No. I'll take you with me.
You will?
Yes, I shall. Now, dearest heart, I must go.
Where are you going? Oh, to meet some other woman. Hmm?
What a suspicious girl you are. You know that you are the only one for me. I swear to you.
So you were the young girl who lived in the old farmhouse.
Mary Ellen, a farm girl, who became Maria Helena, the painter. And you?
Amelia North. I was then. I am now.
I looked out the window, and I saw him walk slowly up the road and disappear behind a clump of maple trees.
I was standing there. It's where we met every single day.
I knew there were others.
So did I.
Amelia, why did you want me to paint him?
I didn't know you were the painter. I had no idea it was you or who you were. 3 months ago, I ran across a story of an exhibit in Paris by an artist named Maria Elena. And there was a picture of one of your paintings. That clump of maples and your farmhouse. And I said to myself, that woman lived in our town. So I took down your name and I thought, I'll go to Europe and perhaps she can help me find him.
I haven't seen him for 20 years. He may be dead for all I know. I never heard from him again.
And so I came to Paris. All the time, something driving me to have him brought back to life.
As I was painting him, the same desire.
How could I tell you I was from the same town? I was afraid if you knew, you wouldn't paint him. That's why I was so vague. But I was sure that you had to know him.
4 days. That's what it took me, Amelia. I told Justin. I thought I still loved him. But every stroke, I was painting him with hate.
Mary Ellen, we've brought him back to life. Now, we must end it.
Mrs. North, Amelia, what are you doing with that knife?
I paid for you. I destroy you. You took everything. You gave nothing. You destroyed young girls. You lied. You gave them hope, and then you took everything away. No! Look at that pretty face. I throw you on the floor. I would trample on your face, but I can't. I can't. I can't forget I loved you once. Oh, God. Oh, you see, dear friends, he and I were to be married. Yes, married. My mother and father, all of us. We waited at the South Church in Old Bedford like some old-fashioned drama, but it's true. Every word. How was a girl to know? The banns had been read. My youngest little cousin was the flower girl, and her little brother was the ring bearer. They didn't understand why the wedding wasn't starting, poor little ones. People from far away, friends, relatives. And finally, nobody said anything. Everybody just drifted off, some together, some by themselves.
Amelia, I'm so sorry.
I had to exorcise him. You see, my heart was still married to him, broken and dying. And I've lived with this all these years.
Amelia, your tragedy was far greater than mine.
It was a Sunday, like today. The first day of June. For 20 Junes, I've cried all day. And all I have to remember him by is a music box my grandfather gave me that day when I came home from church without a husband.
Sunday, June the 1st. He was with me.
I keep it wound and it plays for hours on end. We were to be married at 2:00.
He left my house. The farmhouse at 1:30. Where are you going with all those fancy clothes? I said to him. Oh, this is a fancy day, he said. I watched from my window. He was starting to walk up the road. The road to the South Church. And then... I was frozen. I couldn't move. I knew he had been hit. I was that certain, even though I didn't see it. I couldn't find him.
He hadn't been taken to any hospital nearby, or the one in the next town, or the next. I went everywhere. I finally found him in a big city hospital. Yes. Yes, there had been an accident. A man in a rented gray striped morning suit. Nothing to identify him. He was in a coma. They wouldn't allow me to see him. Even then, I wasn't sure it was him. Day after day, I made up excuses to my parents. I'd go to the big city hospital. One day I went. They said he had lost his memory. Another time, they were fixing up his face with surgery. I cried all the way home. I would never see him as he was again. 2 weeks later, he was gone. They would tell me nothing. I was sure he had died.
I watched the two women cling to one another. Time, the passage of time, might dim and erase their memory of this man. When I reached home, I took off my dark glasses and searched my scarred and rebuilt face. Was I that man? Today, how ugly is my face. But if Justin Court was the man who lived in America 20 years ago, I was much uglier then. I stare into the mirror, but no memories come to me. Nothing. My mind is a total blank.
Many writers have dealt with the effect of art on human nature, and the reverse. Who can forget the picture of Dorian Gray or the prophetic pictures by Hawthorne? Henry James was no less an artist for using life as his palette, emotions as his colors, and the mystery of people's actions as his paints. I shall rejoin you shortly.
I can't wait to meet your daughter, sir.
Well, I'll call her. Evie!
What?
Come here, would you?
This better be good.
She's got a lot of spunk.
Yes.
What is it?
Evie, I'd like you to meet a nice young man.
Oh, no, my hair looks dirty. Daddy, how could you do this to me? I want to die!
I'm afraid her cream rinse makes her hair a little greasy.
May I suggest a Gree?
Of course you'd agree. All you have to do is look at her.
No, a Gree cream rinse and conditioner. It helps stop the greasies.
Really?
Sure, after I shampoo, I use a Gree cream rinse and conditioner and...
And it helps stop the greasies.
Right.
Gee, it sounds like I would like a Gree, too.
Well, a Gree cream rinse and conditioner is 99% oil-free.
Evie, stop crying. I'll go get some a Gree.
And after you use it, I'll drive you to the movies, okay, Evie?
No.
Why not?
Because you got a creepy car.
What?
It's a brown station wagon. I hate station wagon.
Some conditioners contain oils that can cause the greasies, but a Gree cream rinse and conditioner is 99% oil-free. And try a Gree shampoo. It helps stop the greasies, too.
I'm glad you decided to come to the movie. Your hair looks great.
Thank you, and I love your station wagon.
Behind that blueberry face, under that chocolate chin, beneath the Gouda mist, the glop, and the watermelon grin, there's a beautiful child.
Wet Ones Moist Towelettes can help you find your beautiful child at the beach. Little hands and faces can get mighty sticky in the summertime, but Wet Ones go where you go for fast cleanups. Wet Ones clean better than anything dry.
Wet Ones, behind every messy face and hands, there's a beautiful child.
I run a supermarket, and people always ask my advice.
Nick, what should I buy for this? What should I buy for that?
Well, I can't steer them wrong, or they won't come back. So when someone asks,
well, what should I buy to clean my bathroom?
I always say, fantastic. They say, fantastic is my kitchen cleaner. Look, I tell them, as fast and easy as fantastic cleans your kitchen, it'll clean your bath. Well, they must like it. They keep coming back for more. Fantastic. What it does for your kitchen, it'll do for your bath.
There is a sense of mystery surrounding our lives. From accident to accident, birth to death, we live with beauty and pain. We find ourselves, we lose ourselves. The author of this story we have just dramatized confessed that he lived intensely, indeed was fed by life. And he adds, my value whatever it be, is in my own kind of expression of that. We of Mystery Theater are grateful Henry James drank so deeply of the cup of life and expressed it all so vividly. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Norman Rose, and Carol Tytel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
WHCU, WHCU-FM, Ithaca, New York.
Joining the YMCA is both fun and healthy. Program Director Kathy Johnston explains.
I think the need for the Y and why people join programs and part of our philosophy in the YMCA and making our services available to the community is many-fold. One, of course, health and fitness is something that all of us need to put a little more energy in so that we are a lot healthier and will live a longer and happier life. But in addition, if you feel good physically about yourself, you usually feel much better mentally about yourself. I think the Y provides the opportunity for people to try some things that they haven't tried, have a good time at it. In addition, meeting new people and making new friends. And the YMCA is again located throughout the community. We will be located in about 13 different locations offering programs for children as young as 6 months through adults. So the Y really does service the needs of the entire family.
Call the Y at 272-3100.